Hi everyone, Mark Edwards here. It's Wednesday, January 15th. It's been a little while since our last podcast, but Christmas break is over through the holiday hockey, and I wanted to get a new podcast out. Woke up really early today for some unknown reason, so it was an opportunity to get this off my to-do list. Wanted to get some audio out here for a little while. We have a few questions to answer that were submitted via our website and through Twitter and all that sort of thing. Okay, so I'll get going here. Lisa wants to know if there was someone not named to the CHL Top Prospects game that we felt should have been invited. So my answer is that there was one player missing that surprised me, but he has since been included. That player is Luke Evangelista from the London Knights. As some as you know, I don't do nearly as much scouting for the OHL draft. Well, I haven't for the last probably 3 years as I used to do for us. We've got several very capable scouts who are grinding away on those rinks, putting in the hours needed to scout those prospects. But Evangelista is a player that he played pretty close by to where I live. So he's a guy in his OHL draft year that I saw play a few times and actually pushed up our list a little bit. I liked his hockey sense and his skill. It's taken a little longer than I would have thought it would take to make an impact in the OHL. But he's been good in my viewings this season and starting to flash the talent that got him ranked high on our OHL draft list 2 years ago. I get asked questions through Twitter, so I'll just get to a couple of those questions today. So first question, Mark, I was wondering what you thought of the draft eligibles performance at the World Juniors. Any players rising or going down your list? Okay, well, obviously, Lafreniere had a great tournament. Not surprisingly or shockingly, like most, he was already our top prospect. But I enjoyed seeing him rise to the occasion. I've seen him a few times this season in the queue. And as luck would have it, he's had off nights in those games. So it was nice to see him shine again. I was really happy that the injury wasn't serious. When it first happened, I was worried that I had seen him play for the last time this season, so very happy for him that he did not suffer a serious injury there and that he was able to return for the event, which was really, really good for everybody involved. We already had German players firmly on our radar, with Stützle in the top five, and then the lesser-known Peterka. We had 18th overall on our November list. I thought both those players played really well. And then Reichel is also a guy that played well. He's one of our scouts has had Reichel rated very high on his list all year, so he wasn't really a big surprise either. Starting with his play at the camp in Oakville, Canada's camp in Oakville, I thought Drysdale played well. I was in London last Friday, and I actually went down after the game to the coach's office to congratulate Dale and Mark. And Drysdale was one of the first players that Dale spoke about to me. That's a challenging tournament for young D to shine in. So, like several people, I was impressed with Drysdale. Who else? Mercer, I thought in a limited role, but I thought he played well in his limited minutes. Okay, so down our list. Okay, as for players going down our list, I'll talk about the tournament in general. If you think back to the World Junior Tournament over the years, there's always some players who were, sort of the talk of the tournament. Some for great play, some for not great play. There's storylines created because of some star player who maybe plays, or maybe better stated, barely plays. Byfield had limited ice time this year. I've even seen storylines in the past of players who had supposedly played, having poor tournaments, who I thought were fine. Elias Lindholm, we had him, I think we had him ranked third overall heading into the World Junior, and I saw him in Montreal that year. He was a little snake bitten, but I thought he played well, and we didn't suddenly think he was a bad player because he didn't score in the tournament, and there was people out there up in arms about how could this top prospect play so poorly. I've mentioned on radio when asked about World Junior that we don't just scout a 2 week segment of a player's season. It's just another 2 week, 2 weeks on a player's overall resume. If we were only, going to scout 2 weeks, which 2 weeks should we pick? Go check out Nathan MacKinnon's stats at World Junior. How about other draft eligible stars who didn't even make the team? There's been some good ones over the years. Askarov is a player who obviously didn't shine at the event. I think he'd tell you he's had better tournaments for sure. Should we just forget about how fantastic he's been leading up to that tournament, though? What about last season? The kid's been a rock in net for Russia until this tournament, which is one, why he was there in the first place, and two, why he started the first game despite his young age. World Juniors, great hockey, it's got great drama, but coaches have a huge impact on players' performances because they dictate ice time. And usually draft eligibles, they're younger, so their ice time can really be affected. There's been a ton of examples of this if you look back through the history of the tournament. We're going to be finalizing our new list tonight. We've had several rankings conference calls already. Not one player has moved on our list because of a good or poor 2 week stretch this year. We stack our viewings and we build our list based on what we evaluate in those viewings. It's pretty much that simple. Let's see, another question through Twitter. Mark, what are your thoughts on Cole Perfetti so far this season? Some of you probably know I've been a huge Cole Perfetti fan for a while, going back to his first season of minor midget. I saw the hockey sense and skill on display that very first shift I ever saw him play, which I guess is about, what, it's 4 years ago now. I think he might be the smartest player in this draft class. If he's not, he's not far from the top. We had him ranked fourth to start the season and then sixth in November on our November list when I believe Stutzel and Askarov moved in front of him. And we'll see what our new list brings tomorrow. I don't expect his numbers to slow down. A scout last night told me that he saw me was great with Suzuki the other day. So that pairing is off to a good start. Another question through a direct message. This one's a bit older here, so I apologize for the delay. I saw Tyson Forrester made your top 31. Can you tell me about him? Yes, we had Tyson ranked 31st back in November. I just saw Forrester again last Friday night in London. Probably won't make his top games of the season list. But Barry was outplayed, so that didn't help him. That didn't help him any in that game. Tyson's an interesting player in this draft. He's one of the smartest, for me anyway. I think he's one of the smartest and most skilled players in the class. But his skating is a large weakness that makes him more difficult to rank. I'll continue to watch him for sure. He'll be on my schedule this half of the season. There's a lot to like there. I can tell you when I saw him last Friday, though, my first thought was, wow, that skating. I had kind of forgotten how ugly it was. And just an FYI. So we have him as a B grade as of today. Another from Twitter, Mark, saw you were at the game. Thoughts? Okay, so this was referring to the Wisconsin versus U.S. National Program game on January 1st. We actually had another scout see this game too. And not surprisingly, a lot of NHL scouts were at that game. I didn't think it was a great game for any of the draft eligibles, to be honest. Holloway was fine. Sanderson was fine. Bortolo scored and was good, but I've seen him play much better. I guess in general, to sum it up, I've seen all the eligibles in that game play much better than they did that day. Next one, Mark, is there going to be testing at the CHL Top Prospects game this year? Yes, there is. Today, I'll tweet out the timeline. One team is testing in the morning and one in the afternoon. So one team will do their off-ice testing, then go on the ice and do their on-ice testing. And then in the afternoon, the next team will do that. I'm not going to attend, just like about every scout I've spoken to, not really my favorite event to watch over the years. I've noticed a huge drop in scouts' attendance, by the way, these past few years. And I asked, last night I was at the CGHL Top Prospects game, and I asked several scouts last night if they were planning to attend today, and not one scout I asked last night was going to be attending today. So, not saying there's not going to be some scouts there, but all the ones I asked last night, I think I probably asked about seven or eight, and not one was planning to attend. Most are not fans. For me, there's been players over the years who I was curious about as far as, skating. But, when the test results come in year after year, it's been just bizarre. A lot of scouts I talk to would like to see changes as far as the on-ice testing goes. But that's probably a topic for another day. So I'm going to wrap it up here. Our new rankings will be out, as mentioned, tomorrow. Thanks as always for listening. We'll get out some more audio soon. Things will calm down a bit here once we get these rankings out the door. Finally, get us a chance to get back to our scouting course. We'll get that finished up as soon as we can. All right, everyone, take care.